Hi, and welcome to Strangers on the Internet, a podcast about making online dating work for you. My name is Irina Manta, and I'm a professor at the Maurice A. Dean School of Law at Hofstra University. I'm also a dating coach and a consultant for the dating app industry.
And I am Michelle Lang, a senior lecturer in psychology at Christopher Newport University in Virginia, and a clinical psychologist in private practice. All views expressed on this podcast are our own and not our employers.
One often hears the saying that opposites attract, and also that love conquers all. What happens when people very different from each other partner up? Let's discuss. We keep hearing that opposites attract. Is it a good idea, though, to date people very different from yourself when it comes to age, cultural background, income, or other attributes? Michelle, let's jump right in. What have you observed, whether in your practice or among your friends, as far as that general question is concerned?
Well, you know, you mentioned opposites attract, but what about the other well-known saying, birds of a feather flock together? So, which is it? Which is right? You know, I remember when I was in college in my social psychology class, this is one of the points that my professor led with. She gave those two and several other examples about how these common heuristics that we hear sometimes are the exact opposite of each other. And interestingly, what the research has shown as it relates to these two is that more often it's birds of a feather flock together, not opposites attract, that lead to greater relationship satisfaction. So why is it then that that saying opposites attract persists as it relates to relationships, even though the research doesn't support that? I think an important distinction there is between what we are attracted to and what actually contributes to relationship satisfaction. Those can be different things. Sometimes something that's new or different is fun, exciting, less boring, less predictable. And so I can understand how we might be attracted to something that's different than what we ourselves think of ourselves as, or that kind of define how we live our lives. But it makes me think of that, like, yin and yang. That's another motif that we can bring into this. The idea that maybe there's room to value things that are different than us. We don't want just perfect homogeneity in our experiences. We want to have some awareness of something that's different and maybe even opposite. But as far as what's going to work well together, I really think that it's more about complementarity, really. So there's definitely benefit to understanding and respecting other people's points of view besides your own, and growing in your own understanding and worldview by considering other perspectives. But as far as what's going to make you happy in an ongoing relationship, we do need to draw that distinction. You know, research shows that we tend to find new and different things and different people interesting in the sense that they catch our attention. And then if we couple that with physical attraction, you know, they're interesting and different and they're really good looking, whatever that means to you. It's easy to see why somebody might be initially attracted to somebody different than themselves. And then for a while, there's a lot of exposure to the new and different that keeps things interesting as you're getting to know somebody, you're newly dating, learning what they enjoy, maybe trying new activities, hearing and testing out new ways of thinking about things. That's all fun and engaging. That's all positive emotions. So as long as the new and different stuff is not actively off-putting to you, you could see why it would be enjoyable in the beginning, why it would make sense that someone might enjoy spending time with someone who's not the exact same as them in the early stages of dating. But I think here what we want to look at is the majority of people who are dating are ultimately looking for something more long-term. Not everyone. And so for people who are looking for something more short-term, just for the fun of the moment, maybe opposites attract would work for them. Like, to the extent that you don't care about long-term compatibility, it does matter less how similar you are in things that really would only tend to matter over the long term. And that would mean a broader, potentially enjoyable dating pool for you. But for those who do view dating as an investment of their time into something they expect to yield long-term future benefits, this means being intentional about recognizing that something that seems really fun and different right now could be just that, but that if you don't share the common core values with somebody, it's likely to lead to less relationship satisfaction over time. So I don't know. I said a lot there. Any thoughts?
That all makes a lot of sense to me, especially this idea that something might be attractive because it's different or unique or quirky or anything like that. And then long term, it's actually annoying or a problem. Or, you know, maybe you just didn't think through because you didn't know this thing well. You didn't know this attribute well. It's not one you've lived with, or maybe your other previous partners have lived with. You didn't know how it was going to play out in different situations. So that all definitely resonates with me. And I think we're going to have to work through maybe some examples of things and some situations of where that might become a problem. And I think we're also going to be talking today about things like experiences you and I have had with people coming from different backgrounds and how that played out. But go on. I feel like there's more to say here about kind of what does it look like in these long-term relationships? Like, what are the things that you think people need to be careful with?
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, I should clarify, you know, I said for long-term satisfaction, it tends to be important to share some core values. And I just really want to speak to what I mean by core values. That's going to be like a handful of values, probably about five-ish, that really shape how you see the world. Like if you had to say, these are things that are just really important to me, that if somebody didn't agree with me on these things, I would know we weren't compatible. Or, and I've even heard a client explain this before, is if somebody didn't share those values with me, I don't know that I would respect them, you know, that I don't feel like I could be close with them. And so core values are going to be like about your five-ish key values that really shape how you see the world, to the extent where if somebody else fell on the opposite end of the spectrum than you with this particular value, it would definitely cause problems if you attempted to live your lives together. So for example, like, does professional ambition matter more or less than family time? Or should money, is the point of money to be saved or to be spent? And there, you know, hopefully with anyone, they've got some, well, it's to be saved sometimes, spent other times, but where does the majority of it go? You know, things like that. Other things like, how important is faith or a specific religious belief to you? Anything that can impact your quality of life, not just things pertaining to interests. So that's what I mean, like, by core values. You know, another one, these days, we live in a time where for some people, politics is that sort of value. You know, there used to be a time where people could disagree on politics while still generally respecting the other person who they're engaging with. But we do live in a pretty polarizing time right now where for some people, they would say, that's something I can't budge on, that I couldn't consider a serious future with somebody who doesn't fall within like a standard deviation or something of me with my political views. And that's true of some people and not true of others. But alignment, or at least not major divergence on core values such as those, seem to be important for predicting relationship satisfaction. Having different hobbies or dietary preferences or favorite TV shows or like the role creativity plays in your life, things like that, can be fine as far as areas of divergence. But the challenge there is really knowing what your core values are. So knowing that for yourself and recognizing something could be a core value for you, but not a major consideration for your prospective partner or vice versa. Like, for example, I'm not athletic at all. And if I'm being honest, like, just me personally, I don't particularly value fitness in my life. I mean, I know it's a good thing, you know, I probably should value it more, but I just don't. But I don't, so that's not important to me. I don't care if somebody else does. I would have no problem being in a relationship with somebody who really values fitness. However, sometimes people who really value fitness, it's important to them to have a partner who really values fitness. Like, I might be an incompatible partner for somebody who really values fitness. If that's a core part of their values, and if they didn't respect somebody who didn't prioritize it, then I might not be a good fit for them. And I've actually worried about that because I do have naturally a somewhat athletic build. I think when people look at me, they have the impression that I work out when I don't. And So, you know, looks can be deceiving in that kind of way. People might assume that I work out and only find out later that I don't. And so while I might look like the type of person who they would be attracted to, if my lifestyle really isn't such, that might be a deal breaker for them. That's just, you know, one example. But in a case like that, we might be a mismatch. And that's not to say that we have to be exactly like our partners in all ways. That would be boring for most people. But, you know, we can put to the test of, at least in our conversation, the N of two, what do our experiences align with the research? Have you ever dated people, Irina, different, who are very different from yourself? And if so, how did it go?
Yeah, I've dated all sorts of people, frankly, when it comes to ethnicity, religion, different educational levels and jobs. It's so funny, your fitness example, because I never asked you, for example, if you do or don't work out. I guess I just, you know, it's not something I necessarily thought about, but what you said makes a lot of sense, that people make assumptions about that kind of thing. And we do have to also add the element of change. Right. So there have been times in my life when I went running a lot. So I ran the New York Marathon twice, but I did it very slowly. And so I would, despite what I just said, I would never consider myself an athletic person, not even at that point in my life. Oh.
I'm impressed. The most I've ever ran has been probably three miles.
But, you know, I half ran, half walked it, and I got injured toward the end of the second one, which is why it was even slower than the first one, etc. And you know, but the thing is, like, despite, like, someone might have a really weird impression of me, even at that time in my life, they might have, because if they had wanted to go running with me, they would have probably been frustrated, because I would have never been able to keep up. And so it still wouldn't have been what they wanted. And even though I did that at one point in my life, like, you know, when you have people who spend like 2-3 hours a day in the gym, I don't think that would necessarily be very compatible with my lifestyle either. So that would be kind of a problem. But, you know, on the differences, I mean, I will say that I think I was more starry-eyed on this topic when I was younger. Just in general, when you're like, oh, love overcomes everything and blah, 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 right?
Sounds nice.
It sounds nice and it overcomes some things. But I think especially, like we were saying, when it comes to long-term stuff, and I mean, especially when you're talking about like raising a child with somebody, right, which might be the goal that some people are going to have for a relationship, or at least a hope, then it becomes a really big deal. And I would say that's something where I would advise, especially people who are, you know, thinking about children in their future, to really be very, very careful and really think hard about, okay, what is it going to look like when it comes to religion? If we're not the same level or not same type of religion, etc., what is it going to look like when we have disagreements about, you know, the role of ambition, the role of education? I mean, really this kind of nitty gritty stuff. And I would even say people should sit down and write some of this stuff out. I'm not saying that they have to stick exactly to some sort of plan, but at least so they've discussed these topics in advance, right? Because that could become super painful otherwise, and really intractably so. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, I have a values exercise I do with my clients where it's like a list of 50 values, and they're all like, I mean, pretty good. But I ask them to narrow it down to like their 5-ish core values. And that does mean, and you do it by crossing things out. You can't just circle things, because they all sound good. And it creates a lot of tension for people to cross out things that are good that they do value. But we're saying, what are your core values? What are the things that you could not give up, could not see past? And it's a really interesting exercise to do. And then it's also kind of fun to do as couples. I've done this in my relationship before, where I did my core values exercise, my partner did theirs, and we compared them. And you know, what was really interesting to me was, we had, of our 5, of the 50 possible values that we could have put, I want to say we had 3 that were the same, like one that was kind of almost variations on the same theme, and then like one different one. And his I respected, and mine he respected. It's, and you know, it was actually pretty shocking to me that we were that compatible when we could have picked from 50 the ones we did. Yeah. But it's a fun exercise to do with people. I can maybe we can put a copy or something like that away to get to it in the show notes. I'll just see what we can do.
I totally want to do it now too, you know.
Definitely. That's really interesting.
Because
maybe we can put a copy on our Facebook page or something like that. So I'll see what I can do to get that available. But, you know, I think it is something, like, as you were saying, like, I think there's a value to writing it down, to having conversations about it. There are definitely like couple self-help book kind of things that are out there that are like tough conversations you should have or essential conversations you should have. And I think, why not, you know, get a hold of one of those, see how it goes with your partner, if it's somebody who you're really considering a future with. And it does, you know, those books cover all sorts of things that maybe some of us just take for granted almost. Like, it just assume that because this value is so clear for me, that I assume that it goes without saying and that other people feel this way. Well, surprise, it rarely goes without saying. And you might be surprised with what somebody has to say, which is why I say, have the conversation, or as you say, like, write it down, really make it, commit to it more than just thinking about it.
Yeah, no, that all would make a lot of sense for a lot of people, I think. And, you know, it's not just for people who want to have children. The thing is, like, if there's one thing you can never get back, it's your time, right? Yeah. Like, do you really want to spend years with somebody who just is not aligned with you ultimately? And that's not to say that relationships can only have value if they end with one person dying. I'm not trying to imply that.
But
still, like, the opportunity cost is just huge. Well, you're with the wrong person. There might be someone better for you out there. And, you know, I'm not saying once you're with someone, you should constantly look around, but that's the whole point. You should, like, really
get
what was that?
Yeah, you should look before you're thoroughly committed to them. Really be thinking this through. And I know you brought up, like, you've dated people, like, who have differences, like you said, like ethnicity, religion, things like that. And I would say, you know, unless having those things in common is a core value for somebody, and sometimes it is, but unless those things are, those don't tend to be the areas that really differentiate us. I mean, again, unless they are a core value, and sometimes they are. You know, we've talked before on this show about Jewish Matchmaker. We had our guest Stuart Chaseman on here, and you know, for plenty of the people on that show, they didn't want a Jewish partner. That was a prerequisite for them beyond anything else. And so sometimes those things are the case. That's just, you really need to know where you stand with it. Be honest with yourself about what are your absolute requirements, what are your deal breakers, and hope that the person you're talking to, considering dating, has been honest with themselves about what are the core values, what are the deal breakers as well. So for you, when you've dated people who are different from yourself in a variety of ways, I mean, like you said, you've dated multiple other people who are different amongst some key dimensions. So maybe you can't answer this like painting a broad stroke, but were there issues that came up that you can think of that came about because you guys had different values? And was it resolvable? Did it adversely impact the relationship in any kind of significant way or lead to the end of the relationship? Anything you can think of where the difference is, okay, here it was challenging, but here's how we overcame it, or it was challenging and we couldn't overcome it. What comes to mind?
Well, I mean, I would say that my first marriage ended in part because we had different values. So that's obviously the biggest one. And then we still went on and are still going on raising a child together. So that one stands out. But there are others also where it just became clear that, you know, for example, one big one that I think comes up is, and you alluded to this in your introductory remarks, is this issue of, all right, like, how much time should be devoted to work versus to non-work activities?
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely a big one. And that's something where there have been people where I felt like, okay, this person is too obsessed with their work. And then other situations where the other person thought that I was too obsessed with my work, right? So it's really a spectrum. And so that's one that I can definitely think of right away. Religion, also came up, right? Like, look, I'm not religious. I don't really see that changing. I think some men had a real problem with that. They, you know, I mean, I think we see that borne out in the data that people really don't, religious people often really, really don't want to date atheists, right?
Yeah.
And I think now, especially I would say with the abortion issue having become even more salient, because I feel like it's been salient for a long time, but it's become even more salient after the Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs that has sort of created a bit of a free-for-all in some states as to being able to impose abortion restrictions. This has become a real kind of linchpin issue, I would say, among many people. So as you were mentioning, the politics thing is difficult. And for me today, if I was single today, which I'm not, but if I was, politics was always a complicated one for me. And I think it would be an even more complicated one today because I can't really imagine at this point in my life dating somebody who votes for the Republican Party. That said, there are lots of people who vote for the Democratic Party with whom I don't feel like I have as many things in common as might be helpful to a relationship. And so it's really a spectrum. Like, there's so many different kinds of Democrats, and I'm not saying there aren't different kinds of Republicans, because I believe there are, but you know, I'm just talking about where I am at this point. And so within that, like, I just think there are so many issues where many of us have like our own specific views, right? Like, for me, one of those topics right now might be public health, right? Where I have a particular set of views that is not a majority view in either political party. And so where would I go with this? As it happens, I'm on the same page with my husband, right? So yay. But I think we have to also consider the possibility, like, what do people do who are niche in some particular kind of way where they are going to be different almost like necessarily from their partner, and how do they deal with that? So I don't know, just kind of throwing the ball back to you with all this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's challenging. And I do think, honestly, like, I do kind of just feel like it boils down to really knowing and being honest with yourself and hoping that the other person is too. Sometimes they're not, like, you know, and I will say, like, the athletic thing, I mean, I literally did bring that up with one of my exes right when we started dating, because I foresaw it potentially being an issue, because he was a really athletic person. He was really into working out and all of that. And I said, look, just something I want to let you know off the bat is I'm not into that at all. And I know that a lot of the times when that's a big part of your life, you know, you might want to do that together. Like, I'm never going to be that person. And so if that's going to be a problem for you, I mean, we should just air that out right now. And he was kind of dumbstruck by it. He was like, I've never had this kind of conversation before. I have always dated people who like to work out. And he's like, I don't even really know how it'll go, but I'm up for finding out. And ultimately, honestly, what did end up happening, we didn't work out as a couple over the long run. And it did cause a problem. That part of it did, because I did not work out. I didn't value it. And he, I guess, you know, enjoyed spending time with me. And so since spending time with me meant not working out, you know, he ended up cutting back on his own working out. But then he was unhappy with, like, feeling like he wasn't being as healthy. And he even told me at some point, he was like, look, you've been honest with me about this from the beginning. I'm not saying this is your fault, but I've stopped working out as much because you don't work out. And I'm having a hard time with that, you know? It's like a part of my life that I'm really not doing any much, because you're not, like, they're doing it with me or pushing me to. Like, you don't care if I don't. And so he wasn't telling me I needed to do anything different. He was just being honest about how he's struggling with that. And he's since gone on to, you know, be in a relationship with somebody who will work out with him. And you know, I think they're happy doing that together, and I'm happy continuing to sit on my couch. But, you know, sometimes people haven't considered. Is this actually a core issue for me? And they think, well, it seems like it shouldn't be. Like, I should be open-minded about this. And, you know, they might really give it an honest try and then discover, like, I don't know, like, as much as I wish I didn't have to draw this line, like, maybe I do need to draw this line. So I think it's important to try to know yourself, to hope that the other person is doing the same, to hope that it's okay to be honest. As you said, sometimes things change too. And so as things do change, to be able to be honest with that and hope that you can try to navigate through those kind of situations together where, yeah, we both used to value this thing, but my values have shifted. You know, is this workable for us? And so, I mean, I guess that's it. You know, I can add too, there's also like some areas where not necessarily being the same, but like being complementary does matter. So for example, partners who are more dominant, like whether in their communication style or sexually, tend to prefer partners who are more submissive and vice versa. Like those differences tend to work together. A dominant partner who prefers a submissive partner, and maybe the opposite wouldn't work well. Two dominant people, God, how would they ever end an argument? They both have to always have the last word, you know? Like, I don't know how that would work. And two submissive people might never get anything done and everyone would be unhappy, you know? So like, honestly, as I am thinking about complementarity, like, that's the one that comes to mind, like dominance and submission. There's probably others. I don't know. That's what comes to mind to me, for me. Any other areas you can think of, like, where maybe it's not so important that we're the same, but complementary that might be important?
Well, I think, for example, one person that maybe talks a lot and one that talks a little bit less and likes to listen could be okay, right? Because if both people want to talk a lot, or if both people want to just sit there and say nothing, those could both be problems. Now, even there, that doesn't always work because, you know, the quieter person might get overwhelmed, or you might have to work with each other a little bit, but it definitely can work. And I feel like one sees that a lot. Also, if someone's dream is to have a challenging career and somebody truly dreams of staying home, that can work. Now, look, there are some issues where it can fall apart, right? Like, let's say people end up divorcing for some reason, and now the stay-at-home partner has to rebuild professionally. That can be very difficult, right? And then, you know, that also causes its own issues. The other party might become resentful of paying alimony or greater child support, or, you know, so that also can be a problem, but it definitely can work. You've probably seen these controversies on social media about the stay-at-home girlfriend. So, you know, women who want to stay home, like, without being married to the other person and without having children with them. And, like, that definitely would not be for me. And it's also, again, very risky in my view. But, okay, maybe for some people this works.
You're right. Sorry, I shouldn't have laughed because it's a valid, if somebody wants that and somebody else wants to provide that lifestyle and those two are otherwise attracted to each other, you know, that works for them.
Yeah. And look, like, I just don't think I would ever want to, you know, depend on someone that much when you're like not even married to them. Like, that to me, maybe it's like my law credentials that just like ruined our head and are like, no, but
it's
okay.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect, that very practical aspect, but I mean, whatever. But yeah, I do think, like, it's funny when you were talking about the working out, another one that came to mind was like, especially in some states, I feel like you see this a lot, right? Like out west or whatever, even out here on the East Coast, people who just really, really love hiking. Okay. Hiking and camping and all of that stuff. And I'm just like, you gotta keep all that stuff away from me. I mean, I'm not opposed to like walking around in nature, like a little bit, you know, but it's like anything that involves actual hiking boots. I think that's where I would draw a line. Like, if you can get there with sneakers, it's probably okay. And if you can't, it's probably not something that I want to do. So like that sort of stuff is also like big time commitment. And like, all I'm thinking about is like mosquitoes and other bugs and like temperatures that are either like too hot or too cold, or, you know, like, I don't know. And I don't feel like I'm someone who like needs to be surrounded by luxury all the time or anything like that. But that to me is just like a bridge too far. And I thought it might be a little bit funny if we like think about and maybe list some other things that would really, like, if another person has that expectation of us, like, they're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So another one for me, I mean, definitely like people who are obsessed with nutrition. Like, I went on a date with someone like that, and I'm sorry, I just can't. Like, I just cannot, you know, spend that kind of time. I also think some people approach it in an unhealthy way, right? But yeah. I just don't want to spend that much time thinking about restricting my food in any way. And so, yeah, that's just not going to happen. And of course, I've talked on this show before about the guy who tried to, like, get me to not order the spaghetti carbonara and kind of how that ended. And like that sort of thing. Maybe that falls also into this kind of fitness category. There's maybe an element of control that's being imposed that maybe you and I both don't like. Like, maybe we're kind of freedom loving in that way, right?
We are.
And so maybe there's a little bit of that. Also, like, somebody who's gonna expect me to be very domestic in terms of, like,
yeah. We're just the same in this way. Hopefully our listeners, you know, have some variety besides us. They can think of their own answers. But yeah, I'm the same. I'm not like a super domestic person. I'm not going to be like having
cooking
dinner ready on the stove when you get home. And
yeah, I'm really, for later. I'm really good at like ordering delivery. Like, I'm
I can take us out to a restaurant.
But yeah, like stuff like that. And then, you know, I'm sure we could like come up with like various like cultural interests that we just don't share with other people. Like, yeah, I'm just not into jazz. Okay. I don't have something against it. If someone else wants to listen to it, that's fine. It's just, I'm also not really into opera, to be honest. Like, I mean, again, like, I find it tolerable, sort of, but it's, you know, Gretchen Rubin talks about things that like people like versus things that they would like to like.
Yeah.
And to me, these two, like the opera and jazz things, like fall into that category. Like, I would love to be the kind of person that has some kind of appreciation here that I just don't. And same with like, if I'm being honest, I'm not really into fine wines. Like, it's just not something that I'm ever going to care about. I don't particularly like the taste of alcohol generally. So if I rarely have a drink these days, but if I do, like, it tends to need to be something that basically covers up the taste of alcohol, which I think is not the most refined thing, right? So I would say those are examples of things where it's like, if somebody's really into that, like, they're probably just going to be disappointed with me. Like, it's, you know, and it's funny because I've just named some things that sort of involve kind of roughing it, while other things that actually involve kind of refined taste. And so there's some things in both categories for me where I'm like, well, I'm just not your person. What about you?
Totally. Yeah. And I would say, like, two that come to mind for me. One is, and I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but I am such a homebody. Like, I just like to be at home. And so, I mean, and that's not entirely true, because the other thing I'm going to talk about is travel. But like, if I'm not traveling, I like the familiarity of my own home. I'd rather be at my house, hanging out in my own comfortable settings, than I would going out to like a bar or to do like axe throwing or something like that. I'm just not into that. Like, I'd rather just be at my house, and my interests are pretty boring. I'd like to be here reading a book, you know, or something like that. And that would be just, I know it would be intolerable to some people who always like to be out and about. Like, we just wouldn't work well together. Unless, I have had a boyfriend who, I mean, he wasn't like an extreme, I always need to be out doing something, but he really did like to go out and do stuff. Mm-hmm. But he also appreciated being at home. And we at least we had a balance that worked for us, where he didn't take offense if I didn't want to go, and I didn't take offense if he didn't want to stay at home with me. It would be like, okay, you go do whatever events it is that you want to go do, and I'll see you when you get home, you know. And that did work for us. I know those things can work, but it also, it may be that it's really valuable. It's not just the going out and doing stuff or the staying in and doing nothing that's important to people. Sometimes it's having your partner's company while you're doing that. And if that part is really important to you, then it is going to be important to have a partner who's like-minded. The other one I was thinking that was travel. Like, as much as I love staying at home, I do also enjoy going on trips. I just don't like going out and about around town. So I love traveling. And I'm not of the mind where I need to do that with the person that I'm with. It wouldn't be a deal breaker for me if they didn't want to travel, but it would be a deal breaker for me if they wanted me to scale back on my travel because they didn't like to travel. And I have kind of run up against that a little bit previously where it was like, well, I'm not going to go on that trip and you're going to be gone so much. Like, how are we going to spend time together? And, you know, not just that trip, but this other one you have planned, you know? And I was just like, well, we've got to spend time together during the time where we're both here. I'm not going to not travel. Like, that's something I want to do with my life. And so anyway, for me, I tend to think of myself as a pretty accommodating person where, like I said, like, I need to travel, but I don't require you being with me. But no offense to people who are like, I need to travel and it's important to me. I could see why they might feel that way, to have a partner share those experiences. Because some of the things you learn when you travel, you know, like some of those experiences, you're going to want to talk about them again. They're going to stand out in your memory. They're going to be an important life event for you. And to not be able to share that with somebody might be a hard thing. I could appreciate why people might be of a different mindset than me on that. But those are two others that I think certainly come to mind for me.
Yeah. So actually, that's another good one we could talk about, is what are some musts for us in terms of, you know, not just the values like honesty, kindness. We've talked about that before. Yeah. But for you, it sounds like travel is a bit of a, not necessarily a deal breaker, but for some people it might be. I think for me, like, there are probably certain types of intellectual pursuits, intellectual conversations that if I could not have them with somebody, like, that would be a deal breaker. And yeah. I think that's going to cut out a lot of people. It just will. I mean, and that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with people who don't enjoy what I enjoy, right? But that for me really is a big one. I actually also think that someone who's not at all interested in food, like, or can't at least, I don't know, engage with me about that a little bit, like, I think that would be a problem. I don't know. I'm like totally spoiled now because my husband is a really good cook. Okay. Like, I mean, he's like, I think he is restaurant quality. Okay. That his food is restaurant quality. And so that makes me really happy and appreciative. And if it was, and look, I could be with someone who doesn't cook, but if they neither cooked nor were like wanting to try different things that other people cooked, like, I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty big part of life, or at least of my life. So, I also think that there are some things where it's like, okay, here are like 10 interests I have and we have to share at least X number of them, right? It doesn't have to be these exact ones, but it has to be some critical mass where otherwise, like, what do you talk about? And, oh, I've got another one for you. What about when people's internal clocks are very different? The morning person and the night owl. Tell me about that.
Do you think I can tell you, I'm in a relationship like that. So although I'm a mixed bag there. I guess I'm more of a night owl. You know what you said about, like, it's one thing to like something, it's another to like something or to wish you were a certain way. Like, I wish I were more of a morning person, and I can do it. I guess I'm just not a middle of the day person. Like, I love staying up late, but a large part of that is probably some of the same reason some people like getting up early, because it's time you have where not everyone's around, where it might be just time to yourself. I just really enjoy having some of that quiet downtime. For me, at the end of the night, it's more restful and relaxing, but times where I've gotten up early and been more of a morning person, which I also had times like that, it's, you know, I can get stuff done before the world starts moving around, or maybe it's a time to just quietly sip my tea and, I don't know, have peace. And so anyway, I tend to be more of a night owl, although tragically, because I have a school age child and a dog that doesn't believe in sleeping in, like, I get woken up early too. Luckily, I got my mom's genes on the we don't need a whole ton of sleep in order to function. So I can go to sleep late and wake up early and be all right. But my boyfriend, his work schedule requires him to be up very early. So we're really different in that kind of way. And So it is challenging. And sometimes it means things like having two bedrooms. Like I might start in the same bedroom as him and wind up in a different bedroom. Like if he gets up and his alarm wakes me up, but I don't want to hear him getting ready or something like that, I just might move to another room. And we can do that in the suburbs. We've got extra bedrooms around. But, you know, I could see in situations where you don't have a spare room or where it's close quarters and you're going to hear what noise people make, that could be a lot harder. And also, I guess, well, a different factor is like, how lightly do you sleep? How much does it cause problems for you if you do hear somebody moving around, either me at the middle of the night and you're trying to sleep in the middle of the night, or them in the morning and I'm trying to sleep? So, I mean, I think that one could be an issue for people easily. But I will say, I know that one's at least in some cases navigable, because I do that. You know, I don't get as good of a night's sleep as if we were on the same schedule. And I also, I mean, we do miss out on some time together because of that. So it definitely could be a hindrance or a damper. And for some people, it might be a deal breaker. Has that been for you?
Oh, man. So first of all, I've changed also. So if you look at me in college, I was staying up ridiculously late, and it got later and later and later, right? I'm talking like, you know, 2, 3, 4 a.m. right? And I was taking classes later and later because I could, right, by senior year. And then, but now, like, I wake up pretty early. I am also, when I'm, this is another one, it's not just when people wake up, but it's also like, what are they like once they wake up? Like,
oh yeah,
I am alert very quickly. Like, once I'm awake, I'm awake, that's it, you know? Whereas, you know, I think other members of my household are maybe not as big fans of like lots of talking in the morning, or like, you know, I kind of have to choose my time. Like, I'm not going to bring up some important problem at like 8 a.m. And so like, you kind of, yeah, you get used to it, and you figure out like what works for whom. And it's so funny what you said about not being a middle of the person, yeah, middle of the day person, because I totally hear that. Like, I think I also just prefer, like when I used to stay up late in college, like I also preferred the quiet at night and doing homework then, and people sort of leave you alone. And same, I guess, with the early morning. But there's definitely some, like my husband and I both kind of have to do some tiptoeing around. I'm a pretty light sleeper too. So like, we have to, you know, and you know, I wear like whatever special earplugs and things like that, right? But yeah, I mean, it is true. Sometimes it leads to less time together, definitely. So, you know, I mean, people have to figure out what works. And so one other question I had is, I sort of wonder, as we, you know, as we kind of reach maybe the last part of our conversation here, you know, are people, I mean, because there are so many struggles people have now in finding a partner at all, like, I mean, do you think we're going to see more and more like couples with two very different members? And what's that going to look like when people maybe do feel like, yeah, they kind of have to settle in one or more areas?
Yeah, that's tough. And, you know, I don't know. My first thought is, do you have to settle, though? Like, I think another thing that's important to ask yourself is, could it be better to not be partnered than to be partnered with somebody who really just isn't the right fit for you? And I just think that's an important question to be able to ask yourself and try to be honest with yourself about. Because that is a possibility. That is another option, is instead of partnering with somebody who's really well matched to you or somebody who's not, you could just not be partnered and find that fulfillment, you know, in your own personal life and friendships, things like that. But the other thing that came to mind for me when you said that, you know, I'm also interested in being a therapist, something that that I think of with this is also with respect to mental health issues, where, and I'm not saying like, two partners need to have the same mental health issues to be in a functional relationship together. But actually, more what I was thinking was like similar attitudes towards mental health struggles, because something I have seen come up sometimes is like a stigma towards either mental health issues themselves, or even to like, I mean, I guess this is ultimately a stigma towards mental health issues, but towards even seeking treatment for mental health issues, you know, I think that could be a real barrier. That's one that we hadn't mentioned yet that just came to mind, is if you are somebody who struggles with mental health issues, I think it's important. It wouldn't work for you if you were with a partner who doesn't respect the validity of your mental health issues. who is one of those who might think, oh, well, you just need to power through it, or like you're weak because this impacts you in this kind of way, you know, like that's another one that comes to mind, especially as we see more and more people who are struggling with mental health issues. So I think that's just one I would add in there, another area where at least I think it would be important if you are somebody who deals with mental health issues to have a partner who at least is, who believes your issues are real, who respects and tries to understand what the issues mean for you and for your lifestyle. Not to say that it's a free pass saying, well, because I have mental health issues, you can't expect me to also be a good partner. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying, I think believing in the validity of the issues and wanting to work on what does this mean for us when they come up or when they get more severe would be another thing. But yeah, I don't know. As far as your larger question, do you think we'll see more couples where there just are these areas where they're very different? I mean, maybe we will if people feel like they must be in a relationship. And I'm just saying, then I think we'll see a lot more unhappy couples. And so I just hope people would consider either holding out for the right match for them. And holding out doesn't necessarily mean like never going on dates, but you know, like maybe not investing in a long-term relationship with somebody who is truly just opposite from you in ways that wouldn't work over the long term. I'm just saying, being single and learning to love that lifestyle is also an option. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I just saw a conversation in a social media group a couple days ago that like I think is relevant to this, because it was a discussion among people with ADHD, and they were talking about, do they do better or worse in a relationship? And then there was some difference there, but some people were really saying that they are functioning better in a relationship, in part because there is that body doubling that they can do where they're able to get more done. Or I don't remember if this came up, but I mean, one that I've heard also is, you know, like if you have some areas of struggle, right? If you have some areas of like getting stuff done domestically or whatever, right? Like I'm saying that for some people, just be single is also really hard. And it's not just people who have codependency issues, right? Which is a real thing, and which I think is a separate thing from what I'm saying, right? But also when we think about people with physical disabilities, people with various illnesses, like there are certain, this brings us back to that episode you and I did about like, you know, the difficulties of being single, right? Like there are certain ways in which your friends are not going to be there if you're like in pain in the middle of the night or something like that. And so I just honestly, I feel like some people maybe don't have as much of a choice in some ways. And so I don't want to, you know, I can't make a general statement here because it's going to be different for different people for sure. But like, I also feel like there's a lot of like judgment being put on people where it's like, oh, this person's a serial monogamist, or why is this person like, why does this person never take like a year off between relationships or whatever? And it's like, well, you don't know what's going on in their lives. Like there could be other things. And then, yeah, maybe you can't afford to, you know,
the financial aspect. Yeah.
The financial aspect, or psychologically you can't afford, who knows? There's some way in which you cannot afford to be single for as long as it might take to find that ideal partner, right? So I would just, you know, just again, caution people to, because I know you don't hold that view, right? But people out there who might be, you know, who might just be kind of judging others for their choices in that regard. But certainly I agree with you that if you are able to wait for somebody who's more compatible, oftentimes that's definitely worth it. And you might end up spending more time in a relationship globally if you don't, you know, if you're not as likely to end up with a breakup or multiple breakups or whatever. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it 5 stars so that others have a chance to listen to it as well. And make sure to subscribe so that you can get our future episodes. All our platforms are accessible at strangersoninternet.com. Again, that's strangersoninternet.com. There's no the in there. You can become a part of our community and get extra materials by joining the Strangers on the Internet Facebook group or following us at Swipe Strangers on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, or Mastodon, where we are on the Falstodon server with two S's. We also appreciate support to defray our costs to run the podcast. You can help us out at Swipe Strangers on ko-fi.com, which is ko-fi.com. I would like to thank my husband, Carlos Farini, for sound editing, as well as Vlad Kuzhukul for permission to use his music for this podcast. Bye, everyone.
Bye.